It's maybe a time that you feel uncomfortable. Peddling yourself. But making mistakes is not necessarily sin. Get up again, the Lord says. Get up again. Get up again. Get up again. Get up on that bike and keep pedaling. Get back on that bike and keep pedaling. Get up again. Get up again. Y'all can be seated if you like to. Bless the Lord. Yeah. Really sensed a restoration, like a spirit of restoration just coming for those who would receive it. You know, I really do believe that God would rather us get out there and try and make mistakes than not try at all. Because mistakes, making a mistake, or like the illustration from the word riding a bicycle, and maybe we're a little, you know, wavy on it and bump into a curb or fall down. That we get back up and we keep trying again. We keep moving forward. I think God's pleased with that. He's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. He's not just some God far away. He's a dad that will teach us and train us and play ball with us. And you know, when I ride my motorcycle, I don't ride alone. My dad really loves motorcycles. Not my biological dad. He's not in love with motorcycles, but I tried to take him for a ride when he was here. Yeah. But my heavenly father loves to go for rides with his son. Likes to play ball, work in the yard. He likes to be with us. You know, he did everything possible by sending Jesus, dying in our place, to remove that hindrance, that wall, that dividing wall, that barrier, the veil, so we have access and we can come boldly before the throne of grace. How sad it would be, all that's taken care of, but we don't ever do that. We don't ever enter in and hang out with Dad. Our image of God sometimes is a hindrance to our relationship with Him. If we think He's so legalistic, always looking for something to punish, degrade us about. But no, He's a God that's done everything that is can possibly be done. Like Matt was singing today, it's finished, it's done. That we can have intimacy with God. closeness. See, that's what we were created for. When we don't fulfill our created purpose, we live a life that is unfulfilled. And we seek that fulfillment in all kinds of things. Hobbies, money, love, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, career. It's limitless by the ways we look for that fulfillment. And here's what I really love about that is God's created us for purpose to have a relationship with Him. And in that we find fulfillment. And therefore, in all of these other things, we even have greater fulfillment and joy in our jobs and our relationships because of the relationship and intimacy we have with the Lord. And I want to talk about something today. I talk about it all of the time, actually. But I want to focus on it today, and I thought it might be just a one Sunday message, but as I was preparing even for this, I find that it's probably going to be at least a couple, 2 or 3 weeks message. We'll see how that goes. And there are certain things, and really for me personally, there's just a handful of things that I think and believe are absolutely critical. Absolutely critical in the life of a believer. Now, God's main purpose in all of the earth is what? To bring everyone into His family, into His kingdom. But when we choose Him, we receive Christ into our life and we become born again, the greatest purpose He has in our life is to shape us into the image of Christ. To develop Christ-like character. So everything in every human being's life, God doesn't cause everything to happen, but everything that does happen, God uses those things to draw men to Him. Once we're born again, then, everything in our life He uses to draw us closer to Him and to create us in Christ's image, which is a Christ-like character traits. So He uses things, relationships, situations. He might even have you take a job for a particular time for His main purpose to create in you Christ-like character. That's His highest purpose. Now, our purposes don't always match His. Sometimes we take jobs because of the money, the benefits, something that we like to do or whatever it might be. But God's purpose is He wants to create in us the image of Christ. I like how Paul put this. I labor among you until Christ is formed in you. He wasn't talking about the world. He was talking about those who are born again. So what I would like to talk to you about today, and we're just going to kind of scratch the surface in it, is hearing and recognizing the voice of God. This is one of the absolute most critical aspects to our relationship with God, because you can't have a relationship with anything or anybody without a form of communication. Renee and I love dogs. We don't have any right now. We've had dogs most of our life. They didn't talk in English to us, but we were able to communicate. And if you're a dog lover or animal lover, you can still communicate. And they can communicate with you. We cannot have intimacy with the Lord without some form of communication. And I really believe that not only just hearing, but recognizing God's voice above all of the other voices in the world is probably one of, if not the most critical aspect of our relationship with Him. And is so difficult for many Christians to recognize God's voice above all the other voices. I think too, with my conversation with some Christians, I'm not saying anybody in this room, that they're not even absolutely sure God even communicates and speaks much anymore. Now, there's some groundwork I want to lay here in this conversation. And some things I'm going to repeat like I normally do, things over and over and over, because they're very important. The first thing is, when I say God spoke to me, that doesn't mean I heard an audible voice. As a matter of fact, I have never heard God's audible voice. When I say audible voice, I'm talking about a voice out here where I would hear it like you're hearing mine. I have never heard that. I think some of you have, because you've told me before. Cindy has. I've never heard it. I have heard the voice of God within me so loud, it was the next step would have been out here, audible. But I've never heard an audible voice. So when I say God speaks to me, or I heard God, I'm just saying that God has communicated to me somehow. But I shorten it. Okay, I just want to make that understand. Because some people, when I say that a lot, it's like, well, God never speaks to me, because they automatically think it's an audible voice. Well, I've never heard one. So, but God communicates to us, and sometimes they're words. We're going to get into that too. Impressions. There's countless ways God communicates to us. And so I want to talk about some of those. I find it very interesting. I don't know if you've ever seen this before from the Bible. We know that God speaks to people. God, right from the very first, God spoke. That's how he created the earth, the worlds. God spoke to Adam and Eve. We know God spoke. We know God spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to David. We know God speaks to Jesus, the disciples. We have countless proof in Scripture that God speaks. What we don't have a lot of is, how does that look? What does it sound like? What we do have some, but we don't have a lot. Have you ever noticed that? And here's my second point that I want to say over and over and over again. To recognize God's voice, not just hear it, but to recognize that it is God, will require some effort on your part and on my part. It will require some effort. I'm going to share a lot of personal things that God has spoken to me and how God has spoken, but they're only for illustration and an example. God may not speak to you the way I share how he speaks to me. You know why? Because we have personal relationships with the Lord, and he'll speak to every one of us a little differently. A lot of similarities, but differently. God speaks to Renee different and through different things than he does me. Why? Because I'm unique. You're unique. Renee's unique. And God wants, and all of this relationship, it's not mechanical. I can't give you a 3-step process to this. I can't lay you out 7 things, and if you just practice all 7 of these, and I'm going to write a book about it, that this will work for you. It's not mechanical. It's relational. It's relational. And so, I am going to have to develop my relationship with the Lord, with my own personal relationship, in a unique way, listening to how he communicates with me. And so everything that I can share with you is just going to maybe help or expand on that. But it is going to take some effort. Every one of us is going to have to do some things on our own. No matter how well we think we hear from the Lord, every one of us can recognize a little better. We can all be more accurate. And that's what I'm shooting for. I want to be more accurate with what God is saying. God is speaking all of the time. Right now, in the air, you can't see this, but there are TV signals. There are radio signals. There's all kinds of stuff. If our eyes were open to see what's going through the air, there's spirits. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff shooting through the, but I can't hear the radio right now because I'm not tuned into it. I can't see what's playing on TV right now, even though the signals are right, they're there. Digital, high definition. But I can't see it because I don't have the right equipment and I'm not tuned in. It doesn't mean it's not there just because I'm not hearing it or seeing it. It's there. God is speaking all of the time. There are numerous. We can't, if I sat here and tried to count all of the different ways God communicates, that'd probably be all we did this morning. But But he communicates in what he has created in all creation and nature. He communicates through animals. We have proof of that in the scripture. He communicates through other people. He communicates through billboards, TV shows, music, books, good and bad. Some Christians, they get all legalistic. Oh, we can't look at the stars. That's how they led the magicians to Jesus. God's the creator of everything. He can speak through whatever he wants to speak through. It's man who's perverted. It's really the enemy, and the enemy's used man to pervert all of these things. God can, I'm not telling you to go look at your, you know, zodiac stuff and all that. But what I am saying is God can speak through whatever he wants to. And he does. He's communicating all of the time. Why don't you turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Is that in the New Testament? I can't remember. Somebody help me with that. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He didn't say everyone. He says his sheep. To him, the doorkeeper, verse 3, opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, a lot of you have probably heard me say this more than a dozen times, but since we're talking about this particular topic, years ago, I can't remember exactly, and I don't remember now if it was a dream or whether it was a vision. I'm just going to refer to it as a dream. In this dream, immediately before me, I noticed that we were in a huge pasture field. And when I say we, I don't know everybody that was there, but I remember it was our congregation. It represented New Covenant Ministries. And we were in a fenced off area that was similar like a sheep pen. Sometimes when you have dreams or visions, you just know things without seeing it. And I just knew that we were like sheep in a sheep pen in a pasture. I didn't see it, but I sensed that there were many sheep pens with different sheep in them. And we were all just kind of milling around. You know what that word is? That's kind of like a military term, milling around. We were just hanging out. We were doing our own thing. Some were conversing with one another, groups of people. We were just living life. And out of nowhere, it seemed like Jesus started walking to all of the sheep pens. And I remember that he came to ours. Remember, it was fenced off. There's a little gate. He came, and I don't remember, he didn't open the gate. He actually put his hand on the gate. And he looked into the sheep pen, and I remember I saw him actually coming, and when I was watching him, and there was a few with me that were all watching him, and he put his hand on the gate, and he didn't yell, he didn't scream, there was no fanfare, nobody else was with him, there was no flags waving, there was no shofars blowing, all he said was, it's time to go, let's go, and he went to the next one. And he said it very softly. And I remember when he said that, I turned and looked at the rest of our congregation, and most did not even know he was there, much less recognize his voice. And I knew at that moment that for me personally, and this was quite a few years ago, 15 years, maybe more, I knew for me personally that God was communicating for me, I needed to recognize his voice more accurately than I did at the moment, even though I recognized it in the dream. And I knew that for our congregation, we needed to recognize God's voice. And be ready when he spoke, when he said things. So what I have done in my own personal life, I have done some things, and that's what I want to share with you, that has helped. I'm still not near as accurate as I want to be. I still don't recognize his voice like I want to. And again, I want to say this, that no matter how well we think we hear and know the voice of God, every one of us can be more accurate and can hear his voice and recognize it better. And that's what I want to shoot for. First and foremost here, as we're moving forward, there are many voices in the world. Many voices. The Bible tells us that it's Satan that comes like an angel of light. Remember, that's how he deceived Eve. He came in a form of another animal and deceit brought deception in how he spoke and what he even said. The enemy knows the Word of God better than we do and knows it in more languages, I believe, than we do. And he's been around a whole lot longer. He comes as an angel of light for the purpose of deception. God loves us so much, he's done everything possible for every human being to have an intimate, close relationship with him. He's speaking to us, and he wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to recognize his voice, and he's not making this so hard that we just give up and quit. But it will require effort. He wants to communicate. He wants every one of us to hear his voice, however he's communicating to us. He wants us to recognize his voice. And he's not making it so hard. It's not so difficult. Can I just be honest with you? I get very, I don't know what the right word is. I'm going to just use irritated. When I see so many Christians, just it's guesswork. You know what I mean? Well, I just guess this is what, God doesn't want us guessing in a state of confusion, not knowing if it's God, not knowing if it's not God, all of the, he has given us some things to help us and to help us hear and recognize the voice of God. But he doesn't want to make this guesswork, shot in the dark. I've done that a lot, too much. But he doesn't want us to do that. So, first thing. And I want to share with you my born-again experience, my very first encounter with God, but not for the sake of salvation, but for the sake of how God communicated to me. Because I believe this is one of his main ways. And we're going to talk about Scripture here in just a minute, because that's another main way God communicates. I'm home alone. I'm at my father's house in New York. I'm in the upstairs bedroom. I'm reading this book, Jehovah's Witness book, by the way. God can speak through anything. He can use anything. I mean, if he can use me, he can use anything. And he can speak through whatever he wants, because there's truth in everything. That's why the lie exists, you know. The lie only exists because there is truth. So I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden, I thought I was having this drug flashback. But I was having, and I didn't know, I really did not know what was happening to me. Now, I was 20 years old when this happened. I was kicked out of school. I only made it halfway through high school. I only made it halfway through my junior year. I was very and extremely lost. Renee and Pam can testify to that. Confused. I had no direction in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. People were asking me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? What? I don't know. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm talking about for a job or for a career. I don't know. I'm just floating through life. None of you have ever experienced that, right? But you probably know people that, well, now you know me. And so I have this encounter with the Lord. And, you know, he held me like a baby. I really felt and encountered the unconditional love that I've never felt before. But here's the thing, because this is the very first time where I knew, and now I didn't know at the time, but I know now, and I, you know, sometime after I learned this, that it was God speaking to me. Because what happened was in the moment that he was holding me like a baby, all of a sudden I knew three things. Bam. I mean, it was just like, now, I said that I was directionless and I didn't know what I wanted to do because this was so dramatic. I was so lost in not knowing, drifting through life, that soon as I knew three things that I was supposed to do, it was like the light just came on. And I didn't hear God's voice. It was all of a sudden, it was just a knowing. And I knew these three things. Go back to Missouri. Ask Renee, who hates you terribly. No, he didn't say that. Ask Renee to marry you and get a job. Now, at the time, I'd already been trained working on motorcycles, so I at least already had that kind of a background. But the way God spoke, it wasn't I didn't hear audibly. I wasn't reading the scripture. Of course, there's no personal direction like that in the scripture. It was just a knowing. All of a sudden, I knew. I'm going to talk about this one a little, not so much today, but a little bit more, because I think this is so common with us, but we miss it. And I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about those who are children of God. You're born again. Because He's given us the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And there's some things that I just know. All of a sudden, I just know. I don't know how it happened. It wasn't me. I didn't go to school to learn it. All of a sudden, I just knew. I needed to leave New York. Now, the Lord has brought me back to this several times because He said, do you remember how I spoke to you that first time? Now, this is my experience. And yours can be so different than mine. And I want to make that point too. This is my, because God right then was developing an intimate personal relationship with Joe Nicola, with me. Not with all of us, with me. And He's so personal, He's so intimate. But that's one of the ways, is just all of a sudden you just know what you're supposed to do. Hebrews chapter 5, let's turn to that for just a second. Kind of got a little out of order from what I was wanting. That happens to me all the time. You know, I get a great order, you know, in my head, I think, and then you get to talking and all of a sudden I'm all over the place. Hebrews chapter 5, somebody can say amen, you're all right, I won't get mad at you. Hebrews chapter 5, and I think this is somewhere around the 14th. Let's just back up to verse 11. Let's read this. And this is on the line of that, it's gonna take a little effort. We're gonna have to put forth just a little effort in developing our relationship with the Lord. You know, one of the things, before we read this verse, you know, when God, created the Garden of Eden and He put Adam in it, you remember what He told Adam? He said something very specific to Adam when He put him in the garden. Does anybody remember? Cultivate. He said, cultivate it and keep it. Now don't get mad at me, because God can use scripture to me personally. I can't teach what I'm about to say as scripture, but He can use scripture to communicate certain things to us. And one of the things He did with me one day is I was reading that passage and He said, Joe, I want you to cultivate a relationship with me and keep it. Well, how much easier can this be? But it does take effort to do what? Cultivate. Cultivation just doesn't come. I don't wake up one day and look at my yard and say, man, that's some nice green grass. I wonder how that happened. There's no weeds in it. No, I got out there and did a little work to it. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 says, concerning Him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. I'm not saying anybody in here this has happened to. I'm just reading scripture. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice. For because of practice. For because of applying yourself. You have your senses trained. This is not your natural senses. This is not getting your smeller better or your natural ears better. Solid food, verse 14 again, is for the mature who, because of practice and practice and practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. have their senses, their spiritual senses, to be more acute, more aware of how God is speaking, His voice, and how He's leading, and what He's saying. Can we just be brutally honest about this? Most people are just too busy. Most people are just too, and I say most people, I'm talking about Christians, they're just too busy. Now don't get mad at me. Or lazy. Just too busy or too lazy. I don't have time. Let me just tell you something. I know this sounds hard, but if you're too busy to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, you're too busy. If you're too busy to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, I will guarantee you something. You are doing something or more than one thing that the Lord has not led you to do. It's just a fact. Because He's never causes us to be too busy to set aside our priority in life. Never. I love the story of Enoch. Enoch just walked with the Lord. Let me tell you something. Enoch didn't have scriptures either. But he knew the Lord's voice and he walked with the Lord. And Enoch was and Enoch was not. It's a great story. It's a great story. If you're too busy to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, to spend time with Him. Now, I'm going to need to talk about this because I just said something here. I believe, this is my opinion here, that we have done, and when I say we, I'm talking about pastors and teachers, have done a little bit maybe of a disservice. Now please pay attention to what I'm saying because this is going to be so easy to take wrong. When I became a Christian, I heard about quiet times. We've all heard about quiet times, right? And spending quiet, maybe the morning, that quiet time before the Lord. And that's your time with the Lord. Now here's where I think that's been a little bit of a disservice. Now if that works for you, keep doing it. But when we become Christians, when we become children of God, I don't have any longer in my life a quiet time. In other words, I don't have a specific time set aside with the Lord because all of my time is with Him now. And when we look at it as it's just a segment, we're missing life. We're just missing it. Going back to my vision of the sheep pen, what I decided to do was to start my whole, to integrate into my whole, to get away from that. And I'm just telling you my experience of what I do. You work out your own salvation with fearing, trembling in your relationship with the Lord. But what I, and I'm still doing this, is listening and my so-called quiet time is all through the day. I'm trying to focus my life, and I have been for a number of years now, of everything I do at my job, when I'm having a conversation with somebody, is always trying to hear what the Lord is saying, because He's speaking all of the time. Does that kind of make some sense? And to integrate into my life, because we have, and I've referred to this as a 10% mentality. Because we've taught tithing as 10%. Well, the word tithe means 10%. And to give a tithe, to give 10%. Well, when you move into the new covenant, there's no tithe of 10% any longer. You know why? Because when you become a child of God, 100% belongs to the Lord. A 10% is a starting place. And I think over the years, and I know this is what happened to me, is we've developed a 10% mentality. I have my little 15-minute quiet time with the Lord or whatever it is, and I go about my day. I give my 10% tithe, and I've done my duty. I go to church, I've done my duty. I've read my scripture for a little bit, and I've done... You understand what I'm saying here? When new covenant living, kingdom living, is all 100%. It's all in, it's all my money, it's all of my time. I chose to be a bond servant of the Lord. A bond servant is not just a slave or a bond slave by... It's not a slave by force, it's a slave by choice. And Christianity does not work with a 10% mentality. It doesn't. Christians are miserable all over the place because they're not all in. We weren't created to be 10% in, 20% in, 50% in. We were created to be all in. That's when it works. And this is one of the reasons I believe that most people, most Christians are so unfulfilled, discouraged, oppressed, depressed, all of these things. Because we're not 100% in. And it's not until we get 100% in, until we start really fulfilling what God has called us to fulfill. It's just like using a tool that wasn't designed to be used a certain way. We were created to be all in with the Lord. What did he tell the rich young ruler? It's great that you're obeying all of these laws. That's awesome, guy. But if you want to be all in, get rid of all of that and come and follow me. That's what Jesus said. It's not just what our favorite preacher said down. That's what Jesus said. You want to be all in? It's going to cost you everything. I love the Lord. He doesn't hide something in there later. He tells you right up front. And so Christianity just doesn't work unless we are. So if we're too busy to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, we're just too busy. And we're doing something that God has not called us to do. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Am I being too rough? Being too hard? Now, you guys know this passage that I'm about to read. And I've also taught on it numerous times. I remember the first time I ever discovered this passage, it just raised the hair over my whole body. This is again Jesus speaking. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Why are in the Bible two words put together like that? Lord, Lord, verily, verily, truly, truly. That's right. It's an exactly. It's an emphasis. Like we might put it all caps and bold letters. You know, we have different ways of put it in quotations. We want to pay attention to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, not everyone who even calls him Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. He didn't say there's going to be a few guys that come to me on the end. No, he said there's going to be many. Who will say to me on that day, again, Lord, Lord. Now these are the people speaking, Lord, Lord. Lord, my Savior, Lord Jesus, my God. Did we not prophesy in your name? And you know what that means? Your name, by your authority. Didn't we prophesy by your authority? And in your name, by your name, cast out demons? We were functioning in supernatural gifts. And in your name, we performed all kinds of miracles. And Jesus says, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who are living a lifestyle of lawlessness. This is a hair-raising passage. Hair-raising. Because Jesus never said, oh, that was false prophecy. You really didn't cast out demons. You really weren't performing miracles. He didn't say any of that. You see, our revelation, the gifts God's given us are super, you know, walking in the supernatural, being able to prophesy, cast out demons, perform miracles, lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. That, none of that validates our lifestyle. None of it. This is a huge deception to people. I've heard this countless of times when I've seen people stray from the Lord. And they say, well, God still uses me to witness the people at work. Well, he can use an animal. He can use whatever he wants. That doesn't validate your lifestyle. This huge deception that we must be very, very careful and aware of. Jesus said also in this same passage, or he said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. The word there is a continually, it makes more sense to us is ask and keep asking. Don't stop. Seek and keep seeking and you will find. Knock and keep knocking. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep pushing forward. God's supernatural is a natural in the kingdom. It's natural living for kingdom citizens. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, if you're not already mad at me, here's your chance. Matthew 4, 4 again, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but how? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Which means what? We need to be able to hear it and recognize it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, sin, whatever I said, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. We can assume recognize, but that's not what he said. He said, my sheep hear it. So that's one of the first things I think we need to understand is not only does God communicate and God wants to communicate to every one of us on an individual and a personal level, is that we can hear his voice and we're hearing it, we just may not recognize that it's him. That it's him speaking. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that is written on the page of the Bible. No, he said every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you ever picked up on that? Jesus didn't say, man shall live by every word on the page of the Bible. If you want to be mad at me, this is a great time. I'm giving you opportunity. You're not sure you want to be mad at me yet? Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 says, the righteous man shall live by faith. Romans 8:14 says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Jesus himself said, I only what? Say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall live by shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He did not say, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that's written on the page. Can you tell I really want you to be mad at me? Okay, let's close with talking about the Bible. Since I opened my big mouth. And again, God communicates to us in limitless ways. Adam and Eve didn't have a Bible, didn't have scriptures, and God spoke and they had a relationship with God. Abraham didn't have scriptures, but we know he had an intimate relationship. Moses didn't have scriptures, and he had an intimate relationship with the Lord. God even called him his friend. We can go on and on and on. All the Old Testament people didn't have the New Testament. We are blessed to have the Old and the New Covenant scriptures at our disposal in all kinds of different flavors. But this is what I want to speak about. Hearing and recognizing the voice of God. Let me just say this. Those of you that know me, you know I love the Word, the Bible. Now, when we say the Word of God, this is the written Word of God, but He also is speaking, sharing. Jesus Himself said, hey, to His disciples, I have much more to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. There are so many things in life we need guidance for on a personal basis that the Word doesn't share with us. And I love the Word. I love reading. I have, ever since I got born again, I didn't even like to read before I was born again, but I fell in love with reading because I fell in love with His Word and I wanted to know this God that loved me unconditionally. And it's through the Word that we discover even more about the character and nature of God. Learning to recognize the voice of God, it is extremely helpful to not just only know the Word, but to learn the character of the God that's speaking. Because the Bible tells us, and this is a fact, that God is the same today as He is yesterday and tomorrow. He will always be the same. His character is firm, it's sure. If He said something, if He's promised something, it is going to happen. It may not happen like I want, it may not happen in the time I want, but I can count on it. I can place my life on what God has said. And the more we develop that intimate relationship with Him and get to know Him and know Him through His Word, the more we understand His character and the greater our faith and our trust can be in, and it's easier and easier to recognize the voice of God. Because when somebody comes to me and says, I think God told me to divorce my husband and marry this other guy, that ain't God. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to fast about it. It's not God. I don't care what dream, vision, or how miraculous that came to you. It isn't God. There are so many things, guys, that we don't even have to pray about if we just know the character of God. We can learn to discern. Why? Because Hebrews says from practice, we can learn to discern what is God's voice and what is not. What is evil and what is good. When a voice speaks, that's not God, that is. And we don't even have to pray about that. I remember I made some people mad, a young couple. They said, they wanted me to, I don't even remember now what it was. They came to me for some counseling and said, would you pray with us about that? And I said, well, that isn't God. I don't need to pray. I made them mad. Why do I need to pray about that? I don't remember what it was, so I can't tell you what it was. But if we know His character, now I love the Word of God. I love Scripture. I think it's invaluable to us. God speaks through it. It's one of His main ways He speaks to me through His Word. It is alive. The Bible is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible is the Scriptures. The Bible says in the New Testament, the Scriptures is good for edification. I just got the two Scriptures mixed up. For training in righteousness and for discipline and for rebuke. Yeah, reproof. Thank you. I got off on another scripture. But it's powerful, the Word of God. But here's something that's happened, and it's happening in our day. Two things, mainly. One is people are rejecting this. The Christians I'm talking about, they're rejecting the Word. And the other thing is, which is even more subtle, Is there are Christians out there that have a love relationship with the Bible but don't know Jesus? They can quote all kinds of scripture. They know the word, but they don't know the living word. Here's how it's easy to start telling the difference. When you just know the word and you don't know the living word, you become legalistic and religious. That's one way. We can read and study books about JFK, Moses, David. We can study so much about an individual that we start thinking we know the individual when we've never even spent time with that individual. I can read and study all about JFK, but I'll never know him personally. And the same thing can happen with us. We can study and read so much about Jesus and about the Father that we think we know him when we don't even have a relationship with him. There are, dear, should I say it, pastors on our earth today and ministers that don't know the Lord, but they sure know the word and they're preaching the word. And I believe it's a huge deception. Dangerous one at that. We must be careful that we are not developing a love relationship with the Bible and not with the Lord. I want to tell you something, and Jesus said this himself, John chapter 5, verse 39. And he was telling the legalistic people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them is eternal life." And it says, "It's these that testify about me. And you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." That is just a bizarre, weird. The Pharisees and Sadducees have the scriptures. They study. They have devoted their life to the scripture and teaching the scripture. And here, the living word is standing in front of them. And they can't recognize him, because they have a relationship with the scripture and not with the Lord. And that'll cause you to become legalistic, rigid, and hard. The very first miracle Jesus ever performed was he turned water into wine. Why did he do that? Here's my take on it. Water represents the word, and the word is sitting there. It represented the scriptures. Jesus came along and he spoke to the word, and he didn't remove the word. He added the spirit to it that represents the wine, and now it became the best. Because the word without the spirit causes one to be legalistic and dry up and dead, lifeless. We need both. No, don't get mad at me. Those of you on Facebook, don't get mad at me, because I love the scripture. I love the word. I devour the word, teach from the word. We just need to be careful that we are not developing a relationship with the word and miss Jesus, because it is possible. It's very possible, and I think it's happening more than what we may realize. One of the things that the Word of God, there's many things, but one of them, especially in context of what we're talking about. By the way, I had a few comments last week that I didn't preach long enough, so I'm going to go an extra hour today, just to let you know. All right? Yeah. So, the scripture, like Jesus said, reveals who Jesus is, reveals who the Father is, how he interacts with us, what his character is like, so we can know him more. See, I don't believe, this is me again, I don't believe that God just said, "Here's 10 commandments, I want you to live by that, I'm going to go, you know, to Tahiti on vacation, do the best you can, I'll see you later." I believe that, and I really believe that one of the main reasons, if not the absolute main reason, that God gave us the Ten Commandments is he wanted to show us, his people, who he was like. Have no other gods before you. What's he saying? I don't have anybody else before me except you. I love you that much. Don't commit adultery. Be faithful. Why? Because I won't commit adultery on you. I am faithful to you. Don't lie. What? I'm not a liar. I want you to know I'm not a liar. That's why I don't want you to be a liar. All of these things that God is revealing his character, who he's really like, not just to bring a bunch of rules and regulations on us, to try to control us or corral us, but who he is like. See, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And understanding who God is and what he's like, so we can what? Not just hear, but we can begin to recognize how he communicates to us. So when the scripture just becomes a replacement for a personal relationship with the Lord, well, that's where religion gets in and legalism, and it's dry and it's dull. Jesus said this in John 17, verse 3, and I love this statement. Of course, I love just about everything Jesus said. He said this, "This is eternal life." You want to know what eternal life is? It's not repeating a prayer. It's not putting your name on a salvation card. That's not eternal life. It's not what Jesus never said any of those things. This is what Jesus said. "This is eternal life." This is John chapter 17, verse 3. "That they may know." He's praying to God the Father. He said, "Eternal life is that they may know you." The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That's eternal life. So knowing the character of God will help us to recognize the voice of God. The written scriptures are extremely important. I don't want to dismiss that in any way. I just want to bring a caution that we can have a relationship with the Bible and not with the risen Lord. That is a possibility. And the scriptures is what reveals Christ to us, reveals God to us, helps us, teaches us. But knowing his character. See, there are things about Renee and I have been together how many? Not just married, together since 1980. 37 tomorrow? Thank you for bringing that up. The 24th, our first date, April 24th, 1980. That's not bad for a 35-year-old. But we know each other pretty well. And there, because I know her character, somebody can come and bring an accusation against her, and I'm like, you know, I can dismiss it right away or accept it, depending on what it was, based on her character. Just knowing her character. And when we know God's character, there's certain things he's just not going to do, and he's not going to say. Because that's not his character. He's not going to lie. He's not going to deceive. He's not going to hide. So knowing the word, knowing the character of God, and I'm going to close because I'm not going to preach an extra hour. Now the reason I know Renee's character is because it's time spent. Time spent. It's going through life together. See, God wants to go through life with us. And when we go through life in different challenges and different victories and different circumstances and situations, we begin to learn even more and more how God responds. When we know his word, when we know his character, and begin to help us to recognize his voice and his leading, the leading of the Holy Spirit. The last thing, and I'm just going to mention it, but we're going to talk a little bit more about this too. Not a ton, but it's understanding the purposes of God. I did mention this just briefly, but for the whole world, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. God's main priority is the salvation of the world. Once we become born again, once we become his child, what is the second, I mentioned this already today, what is his second, what is his primary purpose with us, his sons? To create us in the image of Christ, to become Christ-like in character. Not where we're all the same, but we all have the similar character. So therefore, everything. You got time for an illustration? Just came to me. I have an hour. Can I hear two? Three, maybe. Okay, we'll stop. Yeah. Everything in our lives, again, I want to stress, he doesn't cause everything in our lives to happen. But he will use everything in our lives to develop character. That's his main purpose. Now, here's I just want to give you a quick illustration. We'll come back and talk about this one again. Because this is a tricky one. If we don't understand his main purpose. Let me give you a couple really quick. I already told you I was kicked out of high school in my junior year, didn't finish, never went to college, didn't go to seminary, went to motorcycle training school, 6 months. I got a degree in motorcycle mechanics. When I got born again, I wanted now, I did get my GED, by the way. I did that soon. Dear Lord, if I had to do that at 50, whew. But I wanted more training because I did want to do something with my life. And when I got born again, I received new hope and new life. And so I joined the military. I joined the Navy at 20 years old. My first day of boot camp is when I was 21. I went in for the purpose of getting extra training. Secondarily, I wanted to serve my nation. First, I just being honest, I wanted some extra training and schooling. Boy, did I get some schooling. But it was nothing like I expected, and I didn't get any of the training that I wanted, any extra schooling. I learned how to tie knots and tie up a ship. That's what I learned. Bosun's mate school. I went to bosun's mate school. Because the school, but here's what I learned, and I didn't realize it until later. I learned submission, I learned authority, and I never realized this until years later of how much, is that the right word? How like the authority in the military functions like in the kingdom. I learned that. See, what am I saying is God's purpose was to create in me the image of Christ. My purpose was to go get some schooling. His purpose was to make me more like Christ and teach me some things. When I started my own business, woo-hoo, got my own business, working for myself. Man, I'm going to be a rich dude someday. He taught me a lot more things. Here's the illustration I want to give you about God's purpose. Remember, everything, it doesn't matter what you do. Everything, God wants to use those things to develop you to be more like Christ and develop me to be more like Christ. Renee and I were car shopping for our second brand new car. Not in a row. Our first brand new car was dead, and we were getting a second brand new car. Now, most of you didn't know me back at this moment, but I loved car shopping, mainly because I loved the challenge of getting the absolute best deal and making salesmen angry. I did. I bought a truck for my business one time, actually several trucks, but one of these trucks, and I can't tell you where it was, I used a brand new technique. I went in there and gave them a cash deposit. And they thought they had a truck sold. Well, when they didn't come to what I wanted to pay for it, I demanded my money back. I had three salesmen and one of them was the manager yelling at me. It was so fun. I mean, I used to love that stuff. I don't know why. And guess what? I left there with the truck I wanted for the price. Now, I'm not teaching you how to do all this stuff. I'm just saying that's, I just wanted to share that to say that I don't like doing that anymore. I guess I got older or something and, you know, maybe just a little bit more Christ-like and not being so whatever you want to call that. Even when we went to Mexico on missions trips, some teenagers would want to be with because I'd love to bargain for the. But anyway, so that was what. And so going to a brand new car, that was actually sport for me. And it really was, wasn't it, Renee? I used to love it. Now, we're buying this particular car, and we went to a couple different dealers because I loved working them against each other and all this kind of stuff. It really helps when your credit's right and you got the money, by the way. That helps. So I'm at work. I'm working for Northeast Honda Motorcycles. Doesn't even exist anymore down in Northeast. And I get a phone call, and it's from one of the dealers. Now, we had already basically, we decided on this car, this color, this interior, all the options. So I'm working two dealers against each other for price. And this one dealer calls me while I'm at work and says, what's it going to take? You know, here's that. What's it going to take? I love those. What's it going to take to get your business? And I said, well, I'm pretty much already decided on that I'm going to buy this car over this other day. He goes, so tell me everything that you're getting. I told him, he goes, I'll beat it by $300. I want to tell you something. I about got so excited. But here's what happened. The Lord said, don't buy that one. This went completely against my nature. I'm on the phone, and well, actually, I already felt it. I already sensed that that's the car we were supposed to buy. But now, $300 is $300. Same car. Gonna order it. And the Lord says, no, I want you to buy it from this other one. Lord, you want me to pay $300 more? I mean, I got some skill here. I got them so far. This was fun. And this guy's now, he calls me, begging me for his business. I'll sell it to you for $300 less. And the Lord said, no, I want you to buy this other one. See, my purpose was to get the best car at the cheapest price. God's purpose was to develop me to become more Christ-like and to be obedient and to hear his voice. Now, even when we don't understand it and it doesn't make sense. So here I'm, now this is, definitely don't do this. I tried to explain some spiritual things to this salesman on the phone, how God told me not to, and that, yeah, that was, I've never done that one again. He had no idea what I was talking about. And I'm so sorry, I'm going to buy on the other one. Thing's over. To this day, I have no idea why. All I know is that was what, and I knew that was God because that definitely wasn't me. Because I would have went for the $300 cheaper. This is what I mean about when I say sometimes our purposes aren't God's. Now we can assume all kinds of things. Maybe the car for $300 more was better. Maybe we were going to have all kinds of problems with that. Maybe God wanted to bless that salesman and that dealership and not the other. That's all assumption. I have no idea. All I know is that's what God said. We bought the car and it was a great blessing to us. And that's the end of it. And I've got a lot of stories just like that. Can I give you just one more? This one will be real quick. I'm going to even hold all of my stuff in my hand so you know. I'm going to slowly walk to the back so you know that we're done. whatever. That's good. So here's a way that God, and now remember, I told you this at the very beginning, these are my stories. This is how God has dealt with me. He may be dealing with you a lot differently. And we all have to work it out. All my stories and my experiences, just if it can help in any way. When I started, this was a long time ago, before we ever started church, when I started to move in the prophetic in services, that was a very scary time for me. But here's how God trained me to hear his voice in a service. And when I started prophesying a service, it was mainly about healing, and it was issues. And God still uses me that way. Do you remember it's probably been a month ago, when I had that word about the fatty liver, and Matt was diagnosed with that 2 days later. And then I had a word. Do you remember the word? It was the word ophthalmia. Does anybody remember that? And I even asked Pam, because I didn't know what that word meant. Ophthalmia. And I said, Pam, what is that? She wasn't sure either. Well, I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. But when I started stepping out in the prophetic, and I had a lady that was much more mature in this area that really helped me. Because I would lean over sometimes to her. This was at another church, and I would say, hey, I'm hearing that. That's from the Lord. Go ahead and give it. That's a whole other thing. We need help from other people that are more mature, but we'll get to that too. So one of the ways God began to train me in this was he began to use words that I wouldn't use. Like ophthalmia. I can't even pronounce it right, much less do I use it. I don't use that, but that's what I heard. You see, I had all that. God did that for probably a half a dozen, eight different times at first. And then he stopped and began using words I do use. Because he was training me how it came, what it felt like, sensed like, all of these things. Now, it was interesting. I was just telling Renee this. It was interesting that just a month ago, he did it again. He used a word that I didn't use, ophthalmia. I can assume, you know, maybe somebody on Facebook, maybe whoever. Nobody knew or nobody said that they knew what that word is. I go home. I look the word up. Does anybody know what that word is, by the way? What it means? Yeah, so it's a, you know what it basically is? Pink eye. It's pink eye. And I was like, well, Lord, why don't you just tell me pink eye? See, God can do what he wants to do. And, you know, I don't know. All I can do is assume. And all we're responsible is saying what we hear God say. Who knows? Maybe somebody here, maybe somebody on Facebook, that word, the doctor used that word to them, and they know exactly what it is. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? But I brought all that up to say that sometimes, that's how one of the ways God did with me, is he just started using words that I didn't use. So I can recognize that it really is him. You see? God's got so many different ways. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to speak to us, and he is speaking, but he wants us to recognize that it is him, and he wants to have that intimacy. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for who you are, that you're such a personal, loving God, that God, that you're speaking to us, but you really want us to recognize your voice. You want us to know. You don't want us to just guess or shot in the dark. And God, I thank you too that sometimes it is to us trial and error. Sometimes we think we hear you and we step out, and maybe it wasn't, or we get confused, but there's so much grace for that and forgiveness. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you don't get mad and upset at us when we're working, we're trying to hear what you're saying and being led by you. Thank you for that, Lord. We love you so much. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.